will tell you, I don't like what is in fashion is, the big pointy long.
Oh, I hate those pointy nails.
So
I
like,
can't stand those
I've
pointy
got
nails.
students that show up with them and I'm like, how are you gonna cook like that? You wanna seriously tell me how you're gonna cook? I know you're gonna put gloves on, but how are you gonna cook like that?
I don't know. How do you type?
I don't know how they wipe their hind end like
Okay. Oh gosh, we just took a turn. We took a turn. We
saying.
took a turn.
Saying, those things are gonna come poking up through the toilet paper. It'll cut right through that. Like, never mind. That's all I'll say.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
People in the world out there.
Are you peopled out? All you
I'm hospital. I'm chaired out. The fact that I'm sitting in another chair is anyway, it's a whole other situation. I need a special massage.
All you've been dealing with older parents in the hospital, and so that's been her last few days. She's
that is, you guys. I look like a hot mess. I don't know what's going on. I put this headband on because it's too hot. I haven't washed my hair and it's just, it is what it is. So welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to episode 188 of Designer Cornbread. We're so glad you're here and we're glad that we're here. We had to postpone a little bit, but Joni's on summer schedule. So that has helped us out a little bit.
That is, oh, that's so helpful.
It is. She's like, whatever, whatever.
Whatever, whatever.
Whatever, I'm free. If you're not getting your special treatments, all your lovely treatments.
I did. And I'm very excited because they were going to get rid of the V form.
Mm-hmm.
They've decided to keep it. So I was there today. I was like, oh, how soon can I get another one? Give me another
Nice,
one.
Nice. Okay, yeah, you were worried about that. You were hoping that they would, because they were kind of testing it out a little bit. So excellent. Well, that's awesome, man. I may have to come get a whole body.
So the bad thing with the V form, I told him today when I left, I was like, screw the lymphatic system. Just do the whole body.
Just
and only do like one part of your body.
Yeah.
At a time, because it will overload the lymphatic system. So,
oh, that's rude. That's just rude. It'll drain too much. There's too much in there to. Oh, that's fair though. I mean, they're trying to, they know what they're talking about. They're trying to be healthy and all that good stuff. What else have you been up to? What you do this? I feel like we'll get into, I've been to the ER. Tim and I have been dealing with ER stuff with my sweet mother-in-law. Since the Saturday after I got back home Thursday, from Joni B's, and the next day I got cranking on my booth, got all my 4th of July and America inventory all processed in and got it all to the booth because I'm like, I got to do it today before the weekend because I couldn't do it 2 weeks earlier, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was like, I got to get that in for this weekend and on, and I'm so glad I did too because I would have been, you never know what life's gonna. Tim, stop trying to call me. I'm recording a podcast. I'll text him really quickly. We gotta kind of stay in communication. Anyway, so then that Saturday, we had a lovely day at home, and I just kind of putzed a little and got to watched baseball, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then we had a nice dinner. Tim grilled chicken and veggies and stuff, and then we got a call at 8 o'clock that she was having bad back troubles, really bad pain, and they couldn't get it to go away. So off to the ER we went. And y'all, ERs, man, we gotta figure something out. I don't know what. I don't have any answer. But that's a situation.
It
and
is.
I don't even I know everyone listening knows if you've ever been.
It's a situation in a small town, and I can't imagine how bad the city would be. I don't want to know.
You don't want to ever go. And that's sad because it's not the people working there are, you know, for the most part, great. Like, you know, they're doing the very best they can. So it's not necessarily that. It's just, you know, you all know. And if you do live in a city, I do think it's even worse because people are in there, first of all, for every, like, they're sick and they go to the ER. Like, I mean, to me, an ER is like emergent care. Like you are there because something's sticking out your eyeball. Your back is hurting so bad that, you know, you broke something. And even then, a lot of that can go to urgent care. That was the thing too. It's always frustrating. I was telling Joni this yesterday when I talked with her on the phone, giving her a little update. But I said, you know, this can never happen during the day with us either. We have never once been to the ER in the daytime. It is always starts at 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Sundown syndrome.
It is. I'm telling you, with my dad, with Susan, and part of it, Susan didn't have any, she, you know, doesn't have the say in it, but, you know, I think a lot of it is people wait around because they're like, oh, you know, it's going to get better, you know, like, let me wait. I don't want to bother. And then it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and you're having to go to the ER. Yeah. So we did that, and and spent a good, 15, 12, probably a good 11 hours in the ER itself, combined waiting room. You guys, waiting room time, hours. And they have to triage. I totally understand that. Like, please take the people that, yeah, you know,
right,
yeah, have stuff sticking out of their eye or whatever it right is. Please.
Gunshot wound.
Please take, you know, the really, I have no issue with that. But anyway, so it's just a long, long time sitting there, and then a long time, everything just takes forever. So, but you know, we got it figured out, and nothing too serious. So we're very grateful. Just bad, some back situations. So we're taking care of that, got her admitted, which took another couple hours. I sent him home. Let me tell you, my husband, at some point, we're back in the doctor area. Finally, we're in a room, and he disappears. And, you know, those chairs, you are literally, we've been sitting on our butts in these chairs for 10, 12 hours. I mean, it's, and you get up and you walk around a little bit, but, you know, there's just not much you can do. He comes back. I hear this rolly, rolly, rolly sound coming down the hall outside of our ER door. We had it open, the, you know, door. And he has commandeered a Barca lounger of some kind, one of them hospital recliner. I don't know where he got it. I don't know where he found it. He just took that thing, rolled it right up to the door, and laid himself out in the hallway in that Barca lounger. And I looked at him and said, I hope they don't, someone that come and roll you off and do some kind of procedure on you while you're sleeping.
They take a kidney.
They might just roll you on and be like, oh, this must be this guy that needs the whatever. You're taking your life in your hands. But he was asleep and he really didn't even hear me say any of that. So it was just that, you know, who knows? When you take Tim to the hospital, and you know what? He's gotten a lot better. And part of it's probably because it's because of the situation this time. I won't go on a whole tangent. Nobody needs to know. I mean, y'all already know if you deal with it, but it's one thing to go to the ER in any circumstance or the doctor, the hospital. It's a whole nother ball game with someone with Alzheimer's and dementia. Yeah. Y'all, it's just, I, my heart goes out to all of you who have to do it and have done it. It's an entirely other ball game. I don't need to really say much more. It's very mentally exhausting, because you can't explain. You explain over and over again what's going on, but it just doesn't stick. So you can't rest. You can't, you know, and she's in pain and she's, you know, doesn't know what's going on. It makes total sense. So none of it is anything that doesn't make sense, but that's a whole nother level. But, part of it was probably because he was just emotionally
Drained
and mentally drained. So he didn't do his normal hospital behavior, which being the engineer that he is, he likes to press all the buttons. He likes to mess with all the contraptions. He likes to do all the things. And I mean, I'll never forget when I was having babies, and I don't even know which baby. Well, when I was having Thatcher, so it was our first experience. So, I mean, he was in heaven. He was like look. Yeah. Yeah. Look at all these gadgets. And he was flipping switches. Y'all, at one point, I'm on the bed and he flips some switch and like giant spotlights come down on my bed area, which were probably the lights for like when the action, you know, lights, camera, action, baby coming time, which it wasn't that time, but I'm all spotlighted up. And then I don't know what else. Alarms are going off. He's pushing buttons. He's looking in all the drawers. It's just a whole... It's a whole thing. And then the second baby, yeah, I'm pretty sure. So then with Avery, so I ended up having a C-section, kind of emergency type of thing moving along with Thatch. So we decided, anyway, blah, blah, blah. No one needs my whole medical history. Mind your own business. But ended up doing another C-section. And my husband says to my wonderful doctor, who I really, really loved, we're in the operating room. And if you've ever had a C-section, you know, they strap your arms down. I know this sounds terrible, but you're on the drug. It's just to keep you still because the IVs and just to kind of manage you. It's not, but anyway, you're there. You've got all the sheets that, you know, in front of you. So you can't, all this stuff. My husband looks up at Dr. Herman and says, "Hey, Joe, there's already a line there from the scar from where you did it before. Can I do the laser?" He's like, "It'd be easy. I know right where to do." And Joe, like, well, and I said, "Joe, I've got one word for you, malpractice." Yeah. I said, that man, he thought he could do the laser on me. So that's what I deal with.
Ron, after he watched a couple of them, is, you know, pretty sure he could do John Garrett's.
Oh, and yeah. They're like, how hard can it be?
Let him touch me. Yeah.
No, I literally was like, malpractice, I will sue you.
My famous story from after... I had JB. JB was emergency C-section.
And those, you know, first kids, man.
And I'm, you know, filleted open from one side to the other, and they've stitched me back, and you can't sit up, you can't move. And my husband looks at me and he says, "Honey, I don't mean anything bad by this, but I didn't think you'd still look pregnant once the baby came out."
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Guys, they should have a class for the men about what to say and not say. My husband said to me after the whole thing was done, I think he put it just like this because he was looking, you know, he's watching over the thing, which that's fine. I mean, he loves all that stuff. But he said later, he was like, "Wow." He's like, "Holly," he's like, "I've seen more of you than you've seen of yourself," because they literally take out, explicit alert, but they take out some of like your stuff to like look at.
Yeah. Your reproductive organs are on the belly.
They want to kind of look at everything, make sure everything's good. And so they had that stuff just out there. And he's like, "I've seen more of you than you've seen of yourself." And I'm like, you know.
Oh, here's my other thing. So after JB and I am, you know, they've same thing. They've got them all out. And my OB is giving Ron a biology lesson. This is the uterus. These are the fallopian tubes. And he said, and I'm listening to it. I just can't see it because the sheet's there, you know.
Right. Thank God.
He said, "And these are the ovaries." And Ron went, "Oh," he said, "You're going to be hurting." And later he said, "Joey, he's just flicking them. He's just flicking them back and forth."
Well,
fast forward to, you know, years down the road. And Ron and I were in a discussion. And he looked at me and stuck his finger in my face. And he said, "You forget. I've seen your ovaries." And I said, "Oh yeah, Mark Wells played with them."
Oh, wow.
Never used that in another argument again.
Nope. He was done. He's like, I don't want to discuss that anymore. I know you guys, it's just such an adventure. Oh, the other story that got me so tickled. I think I shared this with, I'm pretty sure I shared this with you too, but being in the ER waiting room for so, and you know, there's just so many different kinds of people, you guys. It's just, your heart goes out and you're also like, there's just a lot. But anyway, So we were kind of sitting next to this lady, and her poor husband was all wrapped up in the wheelchair, and it went waiting, and she kind of had, she had some good Karen energy. You know, you could just kind of tell by the way she walked in. They're kind of older, but she was exuding that Karen energy. And, but she wasn't super loud. Like she wasn't super complainy that I could hear. She just was, anyway, going up to the desk a lot, which is so funny to me. I'm like, why do people go up to the desk at the ER? Why are you going up there? And my poor mother-in-law kept saying, have they forgotten about us? They've forgotten about us. Have you checked to make sure we're on the list? And finally, Tim just walked up there, and I hope he just walked up there and went, I'm just standing here because she wants to know, but I just need to stand here. And because they don't know any more than anything.
Right.
They can't move you any faster. Anyway, so this lady somehow goes behind us, and I guess I didn't even know she was there because I was reading or doing whatever. And all of a sudden I hear kind of a loud talking, and they have charging stations around, you know, out in the different areas of the ER with all the cords hanging off, which is lovely because people often, you know, you're running out the door, you don't get everything, and you need to be talking to people. So I guess she was messing with that, and she's just complaining away because it wasn't working. And she's like, why doesn't this thing work? They should make these things. She's talking to this young man who came in with his, I'm assuming like a girlfriend. I don't think a wife, but they were, doesn't matter. They were 20s. They looked pretty young, probably early 20s, maybe late teens, but early 20s. Anyway, and she was talking away. I knew he was sitting back there and telling them all about why doesn't this work and this should work. And I don't understand why they have these things and we need them. And I need to charge my phone, but it's not the right kind. And he's kind of making sounds because this poor fella, we had been listening to the whole conversation before. He didn't speak a lick of English. He didn't speak a lick of English.
That's hilarious.
He didn't speak English. And so she's complaining away to him and he's trying to kind of, comprehend, you know, sort of say stuff, but he can't. And she's like, I have a different kind of phone. I have an Android. And I hear him go, oh, Android. You know, and I'm like, bless his heart. So she was just carrying away to this guy who didn't even know what she was talking about. I got so tickled. Yeah. I got so tickled. I had to bite the inside of my mouth because I thought it was the funniest thing. It was to the point where, like, when his girlfriend went back in to get the triage, you know, they take you in just to triage you for a minute, and someone came out from there as soon as she went back in a few minutes and said, we need a translator. So, like, it was to the point of, like, I don't think there was much English, if any, at all. And she was just talking away at him.
That's hilarious. Maybe she could have translated back there for them.
I don't think she cared. You know, she just wanted someone to listen to her complaint. He probably was the best one to listen because everyone else would have been like, everyone else would have been like, shut your pie hole. We don't care. Yes. So anyway, it just, you know, you gotta find
those moments.
Yep. You got to find those moments. So we, got the good news today. I update, you know, much better day yesterday in the hospital because, again, Alzheimer's, dementia, hospital, just a lot. But much better yesterday. And now she's at the back at where she lives, but at their rehab. She's in the rehab, just got her there today. So she's out of there and we can handle her there. So we're stepping down. But all of that is to say, mostly, I don't know what day. I got home from Joan, like going to see you feels like a month ago. You know, I have no idea what's happening.
It's been a week yet, Holly.
I know. I'm serious. I'm like, oh, I was at Joni's last Thursday and it's Tuesday now. I'm like, what in the world is going on?
Taco Tuesday when you were here.
It's Taco. Yeah, that's right. So I don't even know. But aside from that also, I need to update the people. You know this, of course, but when I was down in Savannah and my last night there, we went out to the outpost, and you guys, I need to let you know that I finally got the banana pudding from the outpost.
And poor old Ron left his over.
You guys, listen to this. So if you do not know the tale, which you probably don't, because we haven't talked about it in forever, it doesn't really, you know, matter. But I, of course, love and adore banana pudding. And particularly, do I ever eat it up here? I don't know. Do I ever go to find it anywhere? No. Do I ever make it? No. But when I go down to the South, I'm like,
She's got to have her banana
pudding. I want some banana pudding. Like, that is my Southern dessert of choice. And
pudding down here.
Pudding. Banana pudding. So we go to this nice restaurant out there, the Outpost, and it's got good brisket and barbecue and all kinds of stuff. And they have on their menu every time. They have some lovely cakes, like strawberry cake. They have some beautiful desserts when you walk in. You can see them. But on their menu, it says banana pudding. And you guys, I have been going here for years now. This has been consistently for many years now, I would say. It's been at least over five.
Yes.
That on and off, as I've gone down, we've gone, and I order the banana pudding, and they are always out. They're out every time. 5 o'clock, out.
When we go, like, without Holly, they always have banana pudding. Holly shows up, and they are always out.
Always. You guys, and we're there at, like, 5 o'clock sometime. We're not even there at, like, 8 o'clock at night, where you're kind of like, okay. And they're always like, yeah. The lady said, you know what, they're like, yeah, on the weekend, I think they make two pans, and on the weeknight, they just make the one pan. And I'm like, but y'all would sell. How many people are asking for the banana pudding at 6 o'clock for their dinner, and you don't have it? So I get very upset. So last time I was there, I didn't even ask. I didn't even want it. I'm like, I'm not even going to set myself up for this. I just forget it. So then this time, I don't know what happened in my brain. I just thought maybe the Lord was speaking. Wanted to bless me. And I thought, I'm going to ask. The waitress came up to like take our order. And I'm asking right then. I'm not waiting till we've eaten.
You ordered this before you ordered your food.
I did. I said, do y'all have a banana pudding left? And she said, we have two left. And I said, she said, you want me to bring you one? I said, yes, please. I said, and then Ron, of course, went, I'll have the other one.
I said, make it two.
Make it two. Because literally she knew. She's like, we have two left, two servings container, you know, left. And so I was like, yes, ma'am. And I kind of briefly told her, I'm like, it's out every time I come here. And so, she's like.
Yeah. And so Ron, actually, we were going to get salads and Ron opened the banana pudding and he started eating it. And you made fun of him. You said, are you eating?
Listen, he did. He opened his banana pudding. We're fixing to go get the salad at the salad bar. He goes ahead, opens his right up a container and he just starts eating it. He goes halfway done. I said, you're eating that before your food?
Yeah.
I said, yep. He said, what if the Lord comes? Yeah. Literally what he said out his mouth. What if Jesus comes before I get to eat it? Which tells you where his priorities are. Heaven, banana pudding, heaven, banana
pudding. Gotta get it in. You gotta get it in.
But tell the rest of the story. You're Joni, you're right.
And so Ron and I both, I don't think you had anything to go, did you?
I didn't. I ate every bite.
So Ron and I had to-go things and we got our little to-go containers. And these banana puddings come in to-go containers.
Yeah, like a styrofoam cup bowl thing, yeah.
And so Ron picked up our to-go containers and he's up there paying and we are standing at the, you know, little cash register. And he went, oh, my banana pudding, I forgot it. And he went running.
He ran, you guys, he ran through the place.
And they'd already thrown it away.
It was gone. His banana pudding was already gone off the table. Oh, we weren't gone, but I mean, but they get after it. As soon as you leave, they get after it.
They do. They got to have that table.
He was so annoyed. Oh, with himself. I mean, he was like, ugh.
He was and devastated.
He was devastated.
Our banana pudding.
He was. So then it kind of proved his point. Again, he's like, if I hadn't had half of it, I wouldn't have had any.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's, Ron, that's a true thing. So then I took mine.
Which could have actually worked against him, though. If they'd picked it up and had been totally full, they would have thought.
Right. If the spoon had been on it, because it came with like a spoon, and if the spoon had been on it and it was full, you're right. They might have run. So I think the fact that he was a piggy and ate it before the food was why they were like, oh, he didn't finish it. He didn't want it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Maybe. I think you're right. And it wasn't Jesus that came. It was him who just forgot it. So then I'm in the back of the car with my cup of banana pudding and my spoon and in the back seat just eating away. I'd had a meal. I was still hungry for it. And I'm just in the back of their car. They were like mom and dad in the front. And I'm like the little kid in the back of the car, just slurping up my banana pudding and having a time.
She had that eaten before we got home.
I did. I was totally gone. I was like, well, And then I was like, wow.
Not a small bowl either.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm not going to lie. Now, since I think that you and I are, I mean, I feel like we are banana pudding aficionados at this point.
Yes, we are.
We are.
The banana pudding festival.
We went to the National Banana Pudding Festival last year and got to sample a bunch of different ones. You've had different ones there and I've had, you know, different places. So I feel like we are pretty much banana pudding aficionados. So in my ranking of banana puddings, this was good. It was definitely good. It was very, very sweet. I don't know. I know you're probably sitting there going, hey, dum-dum, it's banana pudding. But like, you know what I mean? Some are more, I don't know.
Yeah,
they vary. They vary. So it was, and this is going to sound dumb too. It was very pudding-y. Yeah. Like some have more cake or chunks or Nilla wafers. It had some. It definitely had some. I think I like a little more like, and I don't like meringue.
Yeah.
It had meringue and I prefer whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
So it had kind of some meringue on it. It was good. The other thing that I think I realized too, and maybe it's because it was sitting out, but I don't think so. I don't think when they brought it, it wasn't cold.
Yeah. So a lot of people do warm banana pudding.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer mine cold.
No, I want it cold and fluffy whipped cream and like lots of fresh banana. I mean, it was very good. I'm not trying to be like a, you know, it was very sweet though. Maybe I just haven't had as much sugar lately, but I mean, it was very sweet. But I ate it. I ate it all.
She's a member of the Clean Plate Club.
I am. Cleaned that thing right out and then had to go and have like tea or coffee or something when we got back to your house to settle it all. Anyway.
Settle it all. Oh, God.
I had to settle it all. Do you want to talk about baseball for a minute? Do you want to update everyone?
So Mississippi State won the regional and we went to super regionals and played Georgia and we did not come out on top on that one.
We didn't. You did not. But man, those were some good games.
Yeah. Did you hear him calling hit it out of the Parker?
Yes. The nicknames, I can't get enough. Give it a Rider for like when Rider hits. All of that. Give me all the baseball name puns. I love it all. They played at Georgia, at Athens, which that ballpark is weird.
Yeah, it is.
It's a very small.
It is.
It's tiny. Like tiny to me. And they even said at some point, they're like, yeah, it's not a very big stadium, you know.
And it's the not Beauty Noble.
No, it's not. Like, and it was fine, but it was such a weird stadium because it was like, first of all, it was small looking and feeling. And like the seats don't even go in the outfield. There's no, their thing is these green trees. And that's one of the reasons it's also a very home run friendly field. Something to do with the green trees, the batters kind of being the backdrop. The batters can actually see the ball a little better. Makes sense.
They had big signs on the trees. Feed these trees.
Feed the trees. Feed these trees. Yeah, it was cute. It's a cute little tradition. Like, the people out on Kudzu Hill, all the student, you know, all that's really fun. But it was just so odd because it's like they only had seating around the sides and the whole kind of outfield. There's really, yes. They just could have a lot more seats, I feel like. But
college baseball, again, and I said that I credit Ron Polk really for making SEC baseball huge.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at Mississippi State baseball was not like it is today. You know,
yep.
Where we had Left Field Lounge, that got its name because literally when I was there, it was a field and people pulled up and with their pickup trucks and their grills and all that went on there. It wasn't seating. It was not
right.
Big stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really credit Ron Polk and making Mississippi State such a powerhouse. I mean, those are the days of, you know, Will Clark and Rafael, Palmiero, you know, and it was thunder and lightning. And that really started this obsession with SEC baseball.
Yeah.
And so I really do, I really credit all that to him. But, you know,
Go ahead.
It's just more and more popular as the years have gone on. It was never a big deal to get tickets to a Mississippi State baseball game. And now it's like you can't get them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So,
yeah. And I think as that got more popular, obviously, then you're kind of getting a better, higher caliber of players start to want to go to the SEC schools, whereas before they might have been going to other more baseball, you know, important cultures or whatever. So now there's a lot of, I mean, it's just super, super competitive. But yeah, I don't know. It was a weird field. It was also weird, like when you're looking at the batter, like as the pitcher view looking in, there's people sitting. Did you see how the people are sitting like right? You know, normally there's kind of like a backstop and then the people are like up a little, but right there.
These people were right.
They were like, it looked like they were in a dugout.
Yes, it did.
And then there was a door and people kept coming in and out that door. Women kept coming in and out of the door. Like obviously those are very expensive seats and I'm sure they could go in and there's probably bathrooms and, but they kept coming. So I'm like, if I'm the pitcher and there's people just constantly like coming in and out of the door and it seemed very distracting, but all that is to say, they were very, very, very good games. Two very good offenses, and the announcers. You know, I don't know who they are, but so it was a 2 out of 3 series. So played on whatever Friday, and then on Saturday and Sunday. Anyway, I think what was Saturday is 19 to no. I don't know what the score was, but State went ahead like in the second inning, like 7. They got like six runs to nothing in one inning, and then Georgia comes back. It was all very back and forth, a lot of offense.
It was a high scoring game.
They were high scoring games, and to the point where
we only lost by like one run or two run, and Sunday went into overtime into
extra innings. It's fine. It's the same thing.
One of those. Went into extra innings, and it was just back and forth. But again, I'm really proud of Mississippi State. I mean, what was Georgia number?
They actually, since the top ones got knocked out in the regional, they were the top one left in the whole tournament. Right.
Yeah, but and then we were ranked like number 14 or something.
Yes. I mean,
you know, so yeah. And we just really played. Really
great.
Well. There were some errors, but you know, Parker came in and just
postseason Parker.
Yeah, seriously. Came out of nowhere and
on
fire. Home run after home run. And he was on fire for
he
sure.
He was. And several of them, the catcher was on fire. So then on Sunday when I came home, so we kind of after all night at the hospital, all this. I sent Tim home to let him rest a little bit. Then he came back because I kind of even sent him a text. I'm like, anyway, I could get home by 11-ish to have my rest time watching the game. So I ended up getting home about 11:45 and turned the game on and ate and laid on that couch to go to sleep too. I needed to sleep. And I finally kind of dozed off. I don't know what inning it was, but and then I woke up to crack. Home run, and it was Mississippi State was up and lead off bat or whatever hit a home run, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. And this was probably about the 7th inning by now, and then next batter came up, home run, and then the 3rd batter came up, home run, 3 home runs in a row.
Yeah, and
so I was excited. I thought, oh, this is a good.
I don't know how Georgia didn't run out of pitchers. They changed pitchers more than any baseball game that I've ever seen.
They did. They did. I mean, you know, that it was just amazing. Again, we didn't have the offense. It came down to, and I said this before, I mean, I said it on the Saturday game. I'm like, man, I wish we were batting last because we would have won if we'd bat last on Saturday.
It did. It was that last.
Yeah. It was whoever last hit. And then Sunday it went to the same, and then it ended up being tied at, and we were batting last. We were home team on that. And then they went up and got some, and then we didn't got out, and then that was it. So very well played. The announcers even, they were so excited and, you know, talking up, but just talking about it all. And they both said on the Sunday game, they were like, well, yesterday's game was the best game in the Supers so far. And they're like, and this is the number 2 best game of the whole Super Regionals. And I'm like,
It was.
Well, there you
it
go. So congratulations, Mississippi State and Georgia.
And Georgia.
And I hope now Georgia goes all the way, because whoever beats that, that's who you want to win the whole thing.
Right.
You know, who knocked you out. So that's our baseball update. Another sport update. Did you see that Golden Tempo won the Belmont Stakes?
Did not.
The same horse that won the Derby won the Belmont. Now, the Preakness happens last, right? We haven't had the Preakness yet. Okay, so we've got two out of three for the crown, whatever it's called. What's it called?
I heard them say every horse in the Kentucky Derby was a descendant of Secretariat.
Yeah, direct descendants of Secretariat. And that horse still holds the record.
Yes.
Yeah. Like what?
Yeah.
What? So Golden Tempo, and he has the female, I don't remember her name, or I'd say it, trainer. So this is big history, and he's on track to win the Triple Crown. Hopefully, we'll see. It always makes the Preakness more exciting.
I'd like it.
I like it too. Didn't an American Pharoah win it? Was that the last one? That's the last one I remember that won the.
I think that's correct.
That name sticks in my head.
Hold me to it.
It's so fun. So, okay. Here's the other thing that we started to talk about that we said we're going to hold off. So I've got a couple of beauty things that I need information about who's doing this. Cause number one, Joni and I were talking and a little ad came up on the Instagram or whatever. Who's doing the press on toenails? Who's doing that, guys? What is that about?
Not me.
I don't, unless you've got some issue with your toes and you want to, just because you want them to look, you know, whatever, that's fine. I mean, I'm not trying to like, you know, that's fine. But like, these are like, I just don't know other than that, who is putting press-ons on their toes?
Not Joni Shea.
Joni, all she's doing, guys, is shaking her head going, not me. Not me, but I need to know who. I need to know what's the demographic here, because there cannot be. I don't understand it. Like for me, when I paint my toenails, it doesn't matter. You know, but they last a long time. It's fine. Like I can't imagine.
Maybe if you had like toe fungus.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like that's true. I mean, I get it. Like I said, if you have an issue with, I totally get that. That's a different thing. But if you're just like doing it to be cute. It's like the people that do, I'm going to say this too, guys. I'm going to say this. This might be a spicy hot take. The French manicure on the toes. I don't like it. I like it on the nails. It's fine. It's kind of out of fashion now, but it's fine. But on the toes, I don't need that. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't like what is in fashion is, you know, the big pointy long.
Oh, I hate those pointy nails. I can't stand those pointy nails.
Show up with them, and I'm like, how are you going to cook like that? You want to seriously tell me how you're going to cook? I know you're going to put gloves on, but how are you going to cook like that?
I don't know. How do you type?
I don't know how they wipe their hind end.
Okay. Like, oh, gosh. We took a turn. We took a turn.
I'm saying, you know, those things are going to come poking up through the toilet paper. It'll cut right through that. You're going, never mind. That's all I'll say.
I told you I don't want any more pee-pee poo-poo talk this week. I've had enough of it. So I don't want any more of it. That's a horrible image. That's a whole nother. And I mean, long nails, that's fine. Like, but I don't like the pointy ones. It's like the cut now is that I like a good squared off. I like a good squoval. But I mean, I understand that. But these pointy things, I can't. But that's fashion. That's, you know, whatever. But the toenails, I don't understand. Then the other thing that, you know, I keep seeing or getting served, which again, I guess I'm offended by this, but are those weird pillows that they say are good to sleep on for your skin so you don't get wrinkles? And I know there's different kinds, like there's the silk pillowcases and stuff like that. And that's fine. I actually have one of those that I need to probably get out and use because they do feel nice. But these are those ones that look like they've got like four arms sticking out of them. You know what I mean? It looks like a little sea creature or something. There's the middle. You put your head in there. It's a sea urchin. I don't know what it is. And it's got these four prongers coming out. And you're supposed to sleep with that so that you don't smush your face and get wrinkles. And I just said, I am all for a good beauty. You all know I like to do makeup stuff. I like to talk about nails. I like good skincare. Joni likes all that and her treatments, you know, the good thing. We love all that. But I have drawn the line. I ain't doing that weird pillow. I ain't doing it.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm just saying, like, how do you put a pillowcase? You can't put a pillowcase on it. It can't be on your bed.
I am sure that they will sell you a specialized pillowcase.
I'm sure you can unzip the thing and wash it. I'm just saying, like, for your bed, you've got this weird pillow. And I understand, again, I have a weird pillow, not that weird, just like a kind of weird shaped, because my neck, I was having a lot of neck and shoulder pain. So like, I get that, but I'm not doing that weird just so that my face, they're literally like, when you lay on the bed, your face goes like this and you get all squint. I'm like, I'm sorry. That's how God made my face. That's where my face is. I have to lay on it. I'm going to let that trend go. I'll do the red light. I'll do creams. I'll do a lot, but I won't do that. Little meatball. Is that what that is? Meatloaf. Meatball. Oh my gosh. His name is Meatloaf. You guys, I'm having coffee and it's 5:45 at night. So
I'm right there with you.
So. Yeah. I had to have a little pick me up. So, but other than that, that's all we have for this week until Joni's recipe.
Well, I have one question for you, though. Did my son get a hold of you?
Oh, I meant to talk about that. I even wrote that down. Oh, yes, he did. I got a call right when I got home from today.
John Garrett almost ran over a bear at camp, and he said, if I happen to run over one accidentally and kill it, I'm going to bring the bearskin rug home, or I'm going to bring the bearskin home.
He's going to skin it.
Please call Aunt Holly and tell her that you were going to make a bearskin rug for her. And he was like, okay, why? And he had never heard the story.
Oh my gosh. So, well, first of all, pause before you can tell the story. But he calls. I get a call. I just walked in the door, let the dog out, gotten in, was watering a plant. And he calls. So I answered and he told me this. He said, Hunter there has given him permission that he can hit a bear. And I said, well, I don't think you should do that because the other bears will get mad and come after you. But he was like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And he proceeded to tell me that he was then going to bring it. He was going to skin it and bring me the bear skin rug because his mama said that I needed that with some Jell-O.
And what did you say?
Well, I said, what's wrong with you? And I said, never mind. I know what's wrong with you. Your mother. That is literally what I said. I said, no, don't worry. I already know. Hey, and then I said, if you do it, I want the kind that has the head still on it. You know what I mean? The head of the bear is on the rug and, you know.
So y'all, we're at camp and there was this, we were on work crew, which means the guys were there in camp. And there was this male counselor there that had a bit of a crush on Holly. And he would go, we were laying in bed one night and we heard this ding, ding, ding. I was like, what is that? And we go over to the window and he's like under Holly's window.
Your window too, by the way. We had the same window.
Yes, but this whole thing was for you. And he's out there shadow boxing, you know, and he even had his own like little dinger set off.
No, he didn't have a dinger either.
We were doing the dinger.
We were dinging. Later, we got annoyed with him and we were like, ding, end of the round.
What did we hear then? There was something that
there was someone out there. There was someone else out there at the bench by the bell that was talking. John Cottle and some other people were out there sitting there too.
Yeah. So anyway,
I don't know.
Out there shadow boxing.
Maybe he had music on. I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, I forgot. Then we got irritated with him. And so we'd stand in the window and go, ding.
You know, round's over.
Round's over.
I mean, it's nighttime. We're trying to sleep and he's out there punching at something. I'm like, what are you doing, you weirdo?
Shadow boxing.
Well, anyway, go away.
So we, during the day, one of our jobs during the day was we had to go set up for lunch. And so we'd put the silverware, whatever on the table, put whatever little trays that had to go on the table, baskets and stuff. We're in there and the doors are usually locked to the mess hall while we're setting up. And for some reason, the back door did not get locked. And I'm doing the front of the mess hall. Holly's in the back. And this counselor's table actually happens to be at the back. So he comes in and he sits down.
And this made Joni's entire decade.
Oh, y'all, it's made my entire life. He said, Holly, I had a dream about you last night. Holly went, Joni? I just acted like I didn't hear. I kept doing my job.
Yeah, you don't ever want to hear that from anyone, any weirdo. You don't want to hear that. And he was a short little fella too. I'm like, I'm sorry. I am way too tall for you. Go away.
He said, I had a dream about you. I thought this is going to be so good.
And she's of no help. You guys, she's no help.
He said, we got married. Joni.
I forgot all that.
We went on our honeymoon to the mountains.
Oh, God. It makes me ill just thinking about it.
This cabin. And there was nothing there but you, me, Jell-O, and a bearskin rug.
A bowl of Jell-O.
Bearskin rug. Y'all, I about fell out. You looked at him and said, Get out.
You're not supposed to be in here.
I think I was on the floor. I don't know. Yeah. So over the years, that has never lost its thing. And my mother, who we talk about occasionally, you know, she's very stoic, but she's very dreaded. Things come out every once in a while. She will. So she had heard this story and she calls me one day and she said, you need to come to my house. And I said, okay. Why? And she said, I've just found something in a catalog that I'm going to buy for Holly. And she said, get over here and look at it. Well, I get over there and here in this catalog is this faux bear skin rug.
A polar bear one. A white bear, mini little bear with the head and everything.
They had the brown or black one. I would have been all 100% in. I said, oh yeah, we got to get that. So my mother ordered the bearskin rug. And I can't remember. I guess I mailed it to Boogie.
You mailed it to him because somehow he was in on this.
Yes. And we got a box of, along with a box of Bing Cherry Jell-O. And he wrapped those. And Tim telling this story is hilarious because Holly's family are the Suttles and they are all very artsy. And when it comes to wrapping gifts, this is not go to Walmart and buy your wrapping paper. It's an art gallery.
It is the most beautiful gift packages in different ways. Some very simple, but just very pretty.
It's a presentation.
It is.
So Boogie, I told Boogie, I need you to wrap this and sneak it under their tree.
At my parents. We're having Christmas at my parents' house.
Well, so he wraps it. Tim is not in on this.
No.
He doesn't know. So Boogie wraps it.
He did know. I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay. So Boogie wraps this. And of course, he wraps gifts like the rest of us do with, you know.
It was just green paper. I'll remember that green paper the rest of my life. I should have been very wary. Green paper with some sad little ribbon.
And it just, I guess, said to Holly, I know, because by this point, I'm out of it. It's out of my hands
now. Well, what happens is, this is how I know that Tim was in on it. At least, I don't think he knew what was in it. But he obviously is the one that had to, like, bring it. And then he had me open it first. He was like, we're all gathered around. And, you know, who's going to go first? Well, I'm never.
What is this ugly package?
No, I didn't say that. But, you know, it wasn't the best. It wasn't his best work. But Tim was like, open this one first. And I never, you know, you let someone, I'm like, I don't know, what? Okay. He's like, yeah, do this one first. And I'm like, well, who's it from? He's like, well, I don't know, but you need to open it first. And I'm like, and y'all, I opened that present and there's this little bearskin rug and a box of Jell-O. And then I have to try to not explain all this to my parents. You know, well, there was, Tim at that point was very amused by the whole thing. So yeah, that's how my life goes. But I don't know how we got on this, you guys. I have no idea how we got on this.
I asked you if John Garrett called you.
Oh, that's right, John Garrett. I'm like, how do we talk about this again? I thought this was behind us.
Oh, it will never be behind us.
It was pretty funny, you guys. It's pretty funny.
All right. So last week I gave you the recipe for strawberry scones.
That's right.
And this week I am giving you the strawberry filling.
Goody.
All right. So here's your filling is you are going to need a cup of chopped strawberries, a cup of heavy cream, 6 tablespoons of powdered sugar, a teaspoon of pure vanilla extract, 6 tablespoons of cream cheese, dice it, and put it at room temperature. Just okay. So it's not chunky. All right. And so put all your strawberries in just a saucepan, cook it over medium-low heat, and cook it for about 8 minutes. And then you're going to mash it with the back of a spoon. Or you can use like a potato masher thing. And then cook for an additional 2 minutes. And then you're going to take that off the heat and cool it and refrigerate it until you're ready to use it. So you could even make that, you know, earlier in the day or whatever.
Oh, okay, good.
So, and then place your cream, the powdered sugar, and the vanilla extract. And you're going to want to use an electric mixer because it's going to need to be smooth. Beat that for about a minute on low speed and then increase your mixer speed to medium high and start whipping that until you get a soft peak. I'll explain peaks in a minute. And then that may take you about 2 minutes or so. Then you're going to put in your cream cheese. Beat that for another minute or until you get the stiff peak. Okay. And then you're going to fold in your chilled strawberries, blend that up real good, and then cover and refrigerate it for at least an hour before serving that.
That sounds so good.
So guys, when you're doing whipped cream, I mean, and this is, you know, the liquid whipped cream, you're going to beat it. And when a soft peak, it goes in 3 stages, you've got a soft peak, a medium peak, and a stiff peak. And your soft peak, you can take a spoon and kind of pull it up and it'll hold up, but then it's going to fall back down.
Okay.
Your medium peak will hold pretty well, but it still is going to start falling down a little
bit. It's like the tip, the medium, it'll hold, but the tip folds down, like it lops over. It lops. It's like a droopy hold. That makes sense? Maybe.
Yes. Okay. And then your stiff peak, you can pull it up and it's going to hold its shape.
Right. It's like, there it is.
You make like a curly Q ice cream and it's going to.
And it's really going to hold. Yeah.
That. So that's where, you know, when you talk about soft peaks and stiff peaks, and that's usually all I do. There's not much use for a medium peak. But,
yeah. Medium's good for like when you're making a whipped cream that you're going to like blop onto like strawberries in a bowl or like coffee, like a drink, like things that kind of are softer. You want to like a softer creaminess that they kind of work well for that. Like you don't want to put a stiff peak. Like if you have a bowl of strawberries or something, you want it to be kind of bloppy. I'm using very technical words, you guys.
Are impressive.
Can understand my words. You need to give that recipe to Caleb because he's got that brand spanking new mixer, and it sounds like there's lots of good mixing he could do.
Right, he could do that.
Mm-hmm. That's his great first recipe: is scones and cream, raspberry strawberry cream. Oh, you could do it with raspberries too. That'd be good too.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Now
excellent.
I believe. For your top three.
Top three.
It is time for my top three. Number one on my top three this week is a product that I was mentioning to Joni the other day too. It's called Clear Protein and it's a powder. Again, more supplement powder things. But the reason I ended up trying this one was because I wanted to kind of like combine some things. I'm trying to pare down a little because there's just so many powder. I don't know if I told you or someone, basically living on gummies and powders in the morning, like in the daytime, which I don't know that that's good. I don't know. But, you know, there's just a lot. So this is called Clear Protein. I got it off Amazon. And it's a drink mix that has 15 grams of protein, which is pretty great. I mean, again, we're all trying to get protein and it's just not the easiest. 15 grams of protein, there's no sugar, and then it's a Na plus, it's an electrolyte, because I was drinking I know I need to be drinking some of those. I need to hydrate better. So I had an electrolyte powder and then, you know, and then, and it also has collagen. I don't know how much. I could never see on there where, like, how much, if it's enough to take away my collagen. Anyway, I'm kind of still investigating that. But even just being the electrolyte and a protein in one, I felt was a good, and it's not cheap. I don't remember how much it is. That's what, when I first looked at it months ago, I was like, holy guacamole. Like, it's not cheap. But by the, when I was just trying to, I want less things to have to travel with or do. It's just a lot. And I'm like, by the time you buy a protein powder and an electrolyte powder, those things are not cheap either. The one I was getting before this wasn't cheap. So if you're doing that, plus protein, plus some collagen, I was like, well, you know, that's probably worth it in the end if you're cutting out those other ones. So again, it's called Clear Protein. I don't know if they have other flavors. The one I have is like a raspberry something or other. I don't know, but it's good. It's just easy, you know, easy to make in my drink in the morning. The second thing on my top three is another thing I chatted with you about, Joni, and I ended up getting are those cylinder grill baskets for veggies for on your grill. I saw an ad for them on the Instagram. Then, of course, I went to Amazon to look up, and of course, they've got them there. And they are just these really cool, again, it's just a cylinder-shaped cage, you know, basket like you would do on the grill. And you just literally throw your veggies in there, cut up whatever you want, mushrooms, zucchinis, you know, whatever you want to put in there. You could toss them in olive oil first or just kind of spray them with it and shake it or whatever. And you put that on your grill and you just sort of flip it with your tongs. You know, you just turn it and you got grilled vegetables. And I'm like, just takes up less space because, you know, those baskets, they have those baskets, but those take up like the whole thing,
the
whole grill. Like those are so big. Whereas if you're doing something or maybe you want to do a lot of veggie, maybe you get four or five of these that came with a pack of two, one a little bit bigger and then one a little bit smaller, which again, if you know, if it's just Tim and me, then it's, you know, whatever. And the ones I ended up getting, I don't think you would need this, but they actually have a wood handle that will screw onto the bottom so you can use that to carry it. I think honestly though, just your tongs can work just as well. So I don't know how long their dishwasher, they go in the dishwasher. They're smaller. They're smaller. Those big old grill baskets, nobody wants to wash that, to put that in the wash. It's just a pain in the butt. So I literally ordered those Saturday on my day that I thought was going to be a normal day. Because I'd seen them and I wanted them for Tim for Father's Day. I'm like, this would be a fun, you know, a easy, really cool, fun thing to have. And so I was going to save them. But then he was like, I'm going to grill some chicken tonight. And I'm going to go to the farmer's market and get some tomatoes. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, well, get some kind of vegetable to grill too, you know. And he ended up only getting asparagus. But guess what? That asparagus right in that cylinder? So okay. I ended up giving them to him when he got home. I said, I was going to save these, but
Happy Father's Day. You're
wanting to get on the grill. And I was like, this will be fun to try out. And he thought they were really cool. They were super easy. So they're grill baskets, cylinder, you can get them on Amazon. We'll link something. And then my last final top three is literally just all the medical workers and the people in the medical field. I'm very, very grateful. They have hard jobs, all the support staff, the caregivers in the different, you know, all the different variations in there. You know, you realize when you are somewhere, whether it's yourself or with someone, you know, that you love, it's a very vulnerable time. Like you are very dependent on the care of these, of people and the knowledge of the people and all that. So, you know, as hard as it is and as unpleasant as it is as a system and as kind of how things work, the people are, you know, just make it, they do, you know, mostly just a really good job, and I'm just really grateful for them. So they are definitely in my top three this week. Yay. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I'm burning up.
Are you sweating like a whore in church? Okay. I need to get off. My mouth is, things are happening. Things are happening. I need to go. We hope you guys had a great week this week. We hope you have a good one coming up. Hope it feels like summer, wherever you are. And we'll be back next week and we'll get more updates on who knows what. Let us know in the comments or anywhere on our Instagram or whatever. If you use press on toenails and then we can mock you, unless you have a good, maybe you have a good explanation. Maybe we need to know. Or the weird amoeba beauty pillows. We really need to know who those types of people are. So until then, what?
Not me.
Not me. We know it's not Joni, okay? But until then, goodbye, pellet.
See you, patch.
After all our delaying.
Yeah. I just walked upstairs and it's a sauna up
here. It is up here too. We've had the air like turned off up here pretty much. Like Tim had it set real high. Hang on. Well, I see. Anyway.
Unfortunately, we've not had the air turned off. So I don't know what's.
Oh, well, that's great. I turned it off. I turned it down like a little while ago. I happened to remember. I was like, man, I better cool it off. Cause it's like 95 here today. It's pretty hot. So,
sultry.
Huh?
Is it sultry?
It really is. We had rain, so it's humid and hot and sticky. But my voice, I've been talking too much.